ER101. In conjunction with the American College of Emergency Physicians, get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER 101. The summertime means a lot of swimming, and actually, according to the CDC, every day about 10 people die from unintentional drowning. My next guest is an expert to talk about this and a frequent guest of the show, Dr. Howard Mell. He is the MCARE Regional EMS Director and works clinically at the Trumbull Memorial Hospital in Warren, Ohio. So welcome, Dr. Mell. Thanks for being on again.
Well, thank you for having me, Billy.
So as an EMS director, I'm sure now that summer's in swing, you guys get lots of calls related to drowning. And I think one of the interesting things is people, you know, from television have this idea that someone's jumping in the air and going, help, 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 and it's noisy and thrashing and splashing, when in fact it can just be very silent, right, where someone just slips under the water.
It most often is very silent. The thrashing about isn't how we notice it happen. And there's really kind of four distinct phases, especially when we deal with children near the water, and kind of four distinct risks that we talk about. And parents really need to be aware of them. You know, the first group is those toddlers who are just beginning to explore their environment. We need to remember they can drown in a kiddie pool. They can drown in anything. And there was a really tragic study done not too terribly long ago that tried to estimate the amount of time a child was missing before they were found in the water. And it suggested that it can be as short a period of time as 3 minutes.
Wow.
And so if you've got a small child and you have any water, whether that's a wading pool or a swimming pool or a hot tub, you really need to make sure that their access to that is secured at all times unless you're with them. Because they can very easily slip away and go into the pool and under the water and you'll never know it. And then, you know, we also need to debunk this myth of drown-proofing. It doesn't matter if we give a toddler lessons in swimming or ways to, you know, swim back to the side. Drown-proofing, unfortunately, just simply doesn't work. And we find that the kids who've taken these classes often also drown, and it's no substitute for keeping access to the water away from these kids. When kids get a little older...
I do sort of agree with that. There's absolutely no substitution for, like, vigilance and washing. But certainly, and maybe, I guess, do you think that the problem is kids that have... that can swim are a little bit less afraid of it as opposed to lacking swimming ability? Although... for adults and such, I mean, lacking swimming ability, that's one of the risks for...
Oh, absolutely it is. But when we talk about drown-proofing a child, what the developmental psychologists tell us is that you can get a child, you know, at age one or two. You know, when I was in high school, I used to teach mommy and me swimming classes. And we used to teach, you know, 1.5-year-olds, and we'd dunk them underneath the water and have them swim to the side. And that's great, but it's almost a Pavlovian response, and they don't translate the skill to when they suddenly slip in the water elsewhere. They learn that when mommy is holding them and dunks them under the water that they're supposed to swim to the side, and that's going to get them a good, you know, an attaboy and a hug and a kiss and a gee, aren't you great, but they don't translate that to they were walking along and suddenly slipped into the pool, or that they jumped into the pool and it was deeper than they thought, or they just lack the psychological stance to bring it, to translate the skill over. And I think when you look at the translated skill age set, we're talking slightly older, you know, you're talking about your 6 to 8 to 10-year-old who does know how to swim but still is at risk for accidental drowning because they lack the judgment to make good decisions in the water. And so what you'll see here very often are the tragic stories of the child diving into shallow water or, you know, running around on a pool deck, slipping and sliding, hitting their head and going into the water. We've seen several cases of girls' hair becoming entangled in pool drains that were activated because the kids wanted to play with, you know, sucking objects against the pool drain and trying to recover them off the ground. And so when you get into the older kids, the kids who you know confidently can swim and can translate their swimming ability into an emergency situation, we still need to supervise those kids heavily because they don't always make the best decisions around the water and may still engage in dangerous activities that lead them to injury and drowning.
Yeah, no, that I think that's true. And, you know, just recently in Maryland, there were some teenagers that got pulled out into a riptide and drowned at the beach. So, you know, that's another important thing. Kids need to understand how rip currents work and that you should, you know, not to fight it. And how do you get out of a rip current?
Well, the best way to get out of a rip current actually is exactly what you just said. You have to ride it out as best you can. If you are sucked under by a rip current, you know, the first thing to do is to not panic as hard as that can be. The second is to let it ride as long as you can in the hopes that you'll get to the end of the pull and then be able to surface much easier. But they're dangerous situations because they do catch people unawares. And that would really, it would lead me to my kind of third point around the water safety. And one of the things that we've seen locally very recently, and that is, you know, you need to keep your wits about you when you're swimming. And so mixing alcohol and swimming is a really bad idea. You know, you really need to be sober and with it. And I think that's one of the areas that we've seen, like I said, locally, you have some cases of teenagers who had been drinking and unfortunately made some poor decisions and drowned while intoxicated in swimming. I think that's a good rule for adults to remember, too, is, you know, if you don't have all of your faculties about you, you may not respond appropriately in an emergency in the water. And that can be very dangerous. And so, you know, I'd like to leave you with the tip that we, you know, certainly would recommend that everybody remain clean and sober near the water so that they're able better to handle their situations.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had a famous DJ in the area that dove into a shallow end when she was at a party drinking and broke her neck and ended up.
You know, and I think the other thing that we really want to remind people of is to always secure the sources of water. In other words, you know, we have folks that may go out and buy small pools or small, you know, children's wading pools. Those really should be dumped every night because a neighborhood kid can come into them and, believe it or not, can drown in them. We also have folks who may have you know, above ground pools that don't have the same kind of alarms or fencing around them that some of the more sophisticated personal in ground pools have. And, you know, unfortunately, I've tragically had to respond to two cases of small children drowning in outdoor hot tubs. And, you know, again, any source of water that you have really needs to be secured and really needs to be protected against and children going out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And the flotation devices and, you know, the swimmies, those little things they put on kids' arms, those are absolutely no substitute for adult supervision at all. They're absolutely means you can't walk away, even for a second. I agree with what Dr. Mel said. So it's very interesting. And sad, because if you think about it, for every child that dies from drowning, there are probably four more that have the submergent injuries with brain damage and lifelong disabilities. Well, I want to thank my guest. And another thing to consider is taking a CPR course, because seconds save lives. And that's another thing that you can do in an emergency. So this is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Stay well.